Okay, here we are. We are looking at the cross applied again. And tonight I want to look at how the cross brings us into peace with God. It's just to see that we have seen that the cross has such a wide-ranging effect on our lives in every part as a Christian, and it's an ongoing effect in every way. These are all recorded, so if you didn't attend one and you'd like to get the copies of it, let me know, and I'll. Or if you'd like a copy of the complete set, I can do that too. I will send them as MP3s, and then you can do what you want with them from there. So this we're going to look at is this peace with God. Before we do, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask of you that your presence will be upon us, that we will have an understanding of your word. And Lord, that understanding, Lord, will translate itself into a vitality of life. That, Lord, we won't just garner head knowledge, but Lord, it'll be heart knowledge. Knowledge that will change us, Lord, and will cause us, Lord, to live in the power and the victory of the relationship that you've won for us. So we pray, O God, that you will give us understanding tonight as we open the scriptures. We have seen, Lord, the victory that you have brought over so much in our life. Everything to do with sin has an answer in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you had a plan and a purpose all along. And so we pray, O God, that you will give us understanding of that plan and cause us, Lord, to be able to live in it in its fullness. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you remember what we said, what was the greatest, just looking for a verse here, if you can find it. I don't know if I have it here, but I'll quote it anyway. What does all the law and the prophets hang on? What are the two great commandments?
Love your name, precious. I love God with all your mind, heart, and soul. Love your name, precious.
Okay, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul, your mind, and strength. The second is like to love your neighbor as yourself. So what does that tell us about what God's number one passionate desire is for the human race?
We love one another.
We love him first.
That we love God and that we love one another. That is God's goal. That is God's aim. That is God's passion and God's desire
And God's gift.
and it is his gift, yes. But it's for you. It's what he has in the plan, in the works for you. This is his passion. And it is his gift through the cross. Only through the cross can this be effectively worked out in your life, where you love God and where you love others. That's God's plan. That's his passion. And that's what the cross is about, is to bring us into that relationship. Now, the reality is that relationship had been broken at one time. And I'm going to come back to this verse, but I do want us to think about a few things. And I don't know if I did this with you already, the fact that God was community.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I've done this in other places, but I want us to you think for a few minutes about who God is, because this helps us to understand the cross again, why it is so absolutely vital and necessary, and that it is not just so that your sins could be forgiven, stop. It is so that your sins are taken out of the way so that you can be in relationship with God. Originally, before there was anybody, there was God, right? In the beginning, God. So before there was anything, there was God. And God was by himself, right? And yet there were three persons. Have you ever wondered why there would be three persons? Has it ever crossed your mind? Why would there be three persons in one God?
Who can explain it?
The three persons that we know as they are named in the Bible are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, what is one of the chief attributes of God?
Holy.
He's holy. What's another one?
He's omnipotent.
He's that too. God is love. Now, how could a person be love if there was only one person? Doesn't love always need an object, someone else? Isn't that true? For love to be active and real, there has to be someone else. Now, does that not then give you a reason or to see that in order for God to be love, there had to be more than one person? Because before there was any creation, who was there?
God.
Just God. And so the Trinity then suddenly becomes, we realize, the wealth of the Trinity, the wealth of the three persons in the one God, because love was being manifested. Because they were in perfect harmony with one another for all eternity. God didn't need anyone else. He was already fulfilling his holiness, his omnipotence, and he was fulfilling his love in a perfect relationship within the Godhead. You understand that? You see that? Do you see that? That doesn't, of course, it's not the Trinity is there because God is love. It's just part of who God is. God always was three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we find that out immediately in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis chapter 1, when God said, let
us
make man in our image according to our likeness, right? We saw that when we studied Genesis, remember way back then?
Yeah.
We saw that there was a plurality to God. And yet, at some point, God, the three persons of the one, complete in themselves, decided that they would make this glorious creation that we live in, and that he would make the crown of his creation to be us, human beings. So he created us in our image, according to our likeness, and he gave them a dominion. And we discovered when we looked at the cross applied a victory over the devil, that this dominion had been sold out when man sold out to Satan from God, if you remember. And so he said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So we can see here that when God says he's making man in his own image, he made them plural as well, right? You know, he could have just made man to reproduce himself without having a woman around at all. I'm glad he didn't do that. I'm glad that, he gave that privilege to the woman. But he didn't do that. He created male and female. And then he says to be fruitful and multiply and to multiply on the earth. So he created, not only is God community, we saw that God was community, but what did he also do? He made us to be community. Okay? So this is the heart of God. This is the original plan of God. That God was community and that we would be community as well. So he created more than one, male and female, he created them. And we are also, on top of that, he invited us into community with himself. So God says, I want not only for me to be in community, but I want you to be in community with me. That's amazing, isn't it? That's God's plan. That was the plan of God, was that we would be in community with God and in community with one another. So the last two studies that we are going to do, we are into now, is peace with God through the cross and peace with one another through the cross. So the first one that we're dealing with now is peace with God, that there's a fellowship with God and with one another. In Genesis 3:8, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It was the picture showing us the fellowship that God had with his creation. But of course, we know that when he went that day, something had happened. Remember, the fall came into the picture, right? And at the fall, the declaration was, but if the tree of the, you mean of every tree that is in the garden, but if the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Genesis 2:17, you shall not eat it. From the day you eat it, you shall
surely die.
And so a death happened in man's relationship with God. And that death in relationship caused communion with God was lost, and communion with one another was lost. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Where are you, Adam? It was a heartfelt cry. Where are you? Because there was a wall up. There had been a break. We see that there was a break between the man and the woman. We studied this in Genesis earlier. The man said, the woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. And so God, Adam blamed who?
Eve.
Who?
Eve.
Who else?
Lord.
God. The woman you gave to me with me, and he blamed the woman, right, for. So the walls came up. The wall came up between God and man and between one another. And those walls have been here ever since. And it's because of sin. And only the cross breaks down those walls. And so a separation came between a sin barrier, between God and all this wonderful communion with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit we were invited into. Now a sin barrier has come. And a death in that relationship has taken place. Not only this way, but this way as well. In fellowship with one another. So there are plenty of walls and barriers up between one another. We cannot have the sweet, full communion that we were meant to have outside of the cross. And that's why the cross is so essential. The purpose of the cross is to break down this barrier and this barrier, both of them. I'm kind of covering the two at one here, but I'm going to diverge and stay with our relationship with God this study. Next study, we will be looking at a relationship with one another and how the cross restores that and how important and vital it is. And to see that is very liberating in terms of our communion with God. So God's redemptive plan is to restore us to community with God and to restore us to community with one another. And so he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. You see that that's God's restorative plan, his redemptive plan for the human race. Praise the Lord that that is God's plan. And so as a result of that, we want to look at a few verses, jumping around a little bit here, as to where do we find this peace with God, this reuniting with God, this restoration of community. Where do we find it? Well, in Colossians 1:20 it says, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through what? The blood of his cross. You know, the book of Romans chapter 5 says we were what? God's enemies. Have you ever thought of yourself as the enemy of God? That's what the Bible says. That's what we were. Because we were at war with God. Sin puts us at war with God. Sin causes us to be in the devil's camp. And is the devil at war with God or is he at peace with God? War. He's at war with God. And so that puts us as God's enemies. We're in the enemy camp. Adam and Eve made a choice for us to put us in the enemy's camp. And we've been there ever since. But when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled, which means peace was made with us and God, to him through what? The death of his son. There's the cross, you see? So how much more, having been reconciled, we would be saved through his life. The full redemption we see. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So we can see now very clearly, plainly, that it is the work of the cross that brings us back into fellowship with God, that takes the barriers down so that we can have fellowship with him. Fellowship broken in the garden, fellowship restored at the cross. Now, I know this might sound a little bit redundant, but is it true then if through Adam everyone's fellowship with God was broken, the human race, then through Christ is not everyone's fellowship restored?
Not really. No, because Christians, people who are saved, the new eyes, you know?
You accept Christ.
He's your Savior, maybe that's different.
So it's conditional?
Yes.
I said, through one man, Adam, everybody fell and came under sin. Right?
Yeah.
So, then through one man, Jesus Christ, is everybody restored?
In Christ, yeah.
You asked if it was redundant.
Pardon me?
If you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior and say that he's the Lord, yeah, you should be forgiven of your sins. What you tell us all the time.
Okay. The Holy Word tells us.
Romans 5:12 says this: therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world. Who's the one man?
Adam.
And death through sin. So death spread to all men because all sinned. Fair enough?
Okay.
Why is it that through Adam you're a sinner?
Because he sinned.
Because what?
He sinned.
Okay, why was that it would Adam's sin affect you?
You know why he sinned? Because he loved Eve.
It doesn't tell us that, but
no, but that sounds logical.
Yeah, it does, but that's not what I want to get at. What I want to get at is why does Adam's sin cause you to be a sinner?
God's curse.
Because we're descendants.
Okay, because we were in Adam. Am I right? We were in Adam because we're the offspring of Adam. Okay, and so that's why it says, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men. Because all have sinned. And when it says because all have sinned, it shows not only have we inherited Adam's sin, but we have practiced Adam's sin. Right? We've borne the testimony of it in that sense. Okay.
Can I ask you a question?
You can.
It was supposed to be 7,000 years. Christ is 2,000 years ago. Well, what took place in the other 5,000 years? Were the people all not accepted by Christ, Lord?
I think we talked about the fact already that the cross is has its power retroactively. At the right appointed time, Christ died on the cross. But he died for the sins not only of those of the New Testament, but the sins of the Old as well. And so the exercise of faith in the Old would bring them into the forgiveness of sins through the cross. The blood of bulls and goats and lambs never took away any of their sins in the Old Testament, but it was symbolic of the blood of Jesus that was to come. And as they by faith did those sacrifices, the blood of Christ was covering their sin because of what he did at the cross. Okay, so what I want to see here as well, it says, for the free gift, not like the offense. For by one man's offense, many died. Much more by the grace of God and the gift of grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And so it says that the one man's offense brought judgment, the other brought justification. If by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. That's Adam's, right? Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, how many were the many? All, but where so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Who's the many? Okay, because it was through Adam, right, that people became sinners. Then I must be through Christ that I become righteous. Mm-hmm. I have to have a new birth. I have to come into the family of Jesus Christ. I have to receive his inheritance in order to experience that deliverance. So it isn't what we do that saves us. It's what Christ has done, right? But it is a step of faith, and that's why we talked about the cross applied. So by faith, when we trust in Jesus Christ, through his death, through what he has done, one man's obedience, that is the obedience of Jesus Christ, so that through Jesus Christ, anyone who comes through Jesus Christ becomes redeemed.
So it's not all, it's anyone.
All those who are in Adam are condemned. Yeah. All those who are in Christ, it is all, but it's all those who are in one or the other. Right. There are some who have tried to say that all means everybody in the world.
Still in Adam.
That's right. There, those who are still in Adam are under the condemnation of Adam. Those who are in Christ are under the deliverance of Jesus Christ.
But that song, "We're All God's Children."
Yes, I think there's somebody sung that. I think it was Charlie Pride, didn't he, one time?
Yeah.
Going way back. "We're all God's children. We're next of kin." Did you ever hear that song?
Yeah.
Am I that old? And am I older than you guys?
Dolly Parton song,
that's probably Dolly Parton. It was an old country song, right?
We're only God's child through faith.
That's right. Yes. We are all God's children by creation.
Yes.
But we are not all God's children by relation. You get what I'm saying? We're all, I mean, the Bible says in Him we live and move and have our being. So we are all God's children by creation in the sense that God made all of us. That's everything is God's.
Yes.
But we are not all God's children by relation until we come into the receiving Jesus Christ. John 1:12.
According to scripture in the gospel, his description of the gospels in general now, overall, saved and unsaved.
Yeah.
When he talks about the road being very wide to hell, he wasn't talking about just that population. I believe he was talking about the overall population from the beginning Adam to the last baby.
Sure. It says wide and broad is the way to destruction.
Wide is the gate.
Yeah, it's a wide road to destruction. It's a narrow gate to life. Few there be that find it. But those who find it through the
cross.
That's the only road there is. That's the only pathway, the only gate, the only door that God has ever given to the human race. And we know that the cross then stands as an offense to many people because they do not want to hear there's only one door. There's only one way. They want to make as many doors and as many ways as possible. They want to make that road as broad as they can. It's broad, all right. But the narrow road to life is not broad. It is narrow. It is wide enough that anyone may go through. But it is narrow enough that only those who come through Jesus Christ can come. And so we see that the picture is clear then from the scriptures that the redemptive work of Jesus Christ through the cross is only by faith in Jesus Christ. And so we discover that that peace comes through the cross. Now, just give me a second here. So I have the two studies done in one here. In Hebrews 10:19, speaking about us having confidence and entering into the presence of God, it tells us that, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by what? By the blood of Jesus. Can't come any other way. We come into the holy place. Now, the holy place, the most holy place, is a picture taken out of the Old Testament. And what I want to do is give you a little bit of a picture of the Old Testament economy, how things were in the Old Testament, and give you a comparative to show what the New says. In Hebrews 10:20, it says, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body. That's His body sacrificed. So He's speaking about a new way through the curtain. Now, why is He speaking about a curtain?
That was the old temple.
Yes, in the temple there was this huge curtain, and only the high priest could go past this curtain, and that took you into the holy place. And you couldn't go in there. Nobody was allowed in there except the high priest. And now He says you can go through the curtain, through Jesus. And the in the Old Testament we have a picture here I have of you for you. In the wilderness, this was the tabernacle. And this is where the sacrifices and all these things were done in the Old Testament. And if you do much reading in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Leviticus, there's tremendous detail about the different kinds of sacrifices and all of them that had to be taken and brought in. And so we're going to just take an overview of this here. This is an outward picture here. I'm going to just give you a more simple diagram to look at. But the general crowds of people, they were allowed out here. They weren't allowed in there. And then there was a whole group of people, the sons of Levi. If you can remember our study in Genesis, there was different sons of Jacob, of Israel. One of them was Levi. And they were given the job to be the priests. And their job, it was a family tradition, shall we say, handed down, was to handle all that had to do with sacrifices. And because you have over 1 million people, even traveling in the desert, you're talking about a lot of sacrifices, as people had sacrificed for this and a sacrifice for that, etc. So there was this constant sacrificing taking place here, and there were certain places where the sacrifice would happen, where they would be burning the burnt offerings and sacrifices, and there was a step-by-step progression So a certain number of people could get this far, a certain number of people get this far, and then finally when it came to the very inner chamber, only the high priest could go in only once a year and not without blood. And if he went without blood, and it had to be the blood of a perfect lamb, then he would be struck dead. And so all of this was showing the way to the Holy of Holies, which was to be in the presence of God. So to get into the presence of God, the Old Testament people couldn't go there. Now this was God giving them a physical picture, okay, of a spiritual truth. You understand what I'm saying? The Old Testament, as someone has said about the book of Hebrews, is fleeting shadows of the fulfilled substance. I think Colin wrote that in his Bible at one time or something. The fleeting shadows, they're passing away. They were only symbolic of the fulfilled substance, which is who?
Jesus
himself. So these are all fleeting shadows of the fulfilled substance of Jesus Christ. And so as we look at that, and that's why the Old Testament was given to show people, you just can't march into the presence of God here. And why couldn't they?
He was holy.
He was holy, and we are unholy. Because sin had come into the world, the barriers between us and God were significant. Remember I showed you a picture of a barrier? Mm-hmm. Well, this actually shows us the barriers. And it also shows us God showing how we could have some relationship with him. And it had to be through sacrifice. It had to be through blood sacrifice, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And so the Old Testament is bringing out to the people of God how serious sin is, how much of a barrier it has created, and how God still, in spite of that, wants that barrier taken down. And so he institutes sacrifices to picture and reveal how seriously God takes sin. So every time sin took place, sacrifice had to take place.
Where's that curtain?
The curtain would be in the central part here, and this was the temporary tabernacle until the building of the temple, and in the temple there was a curtain erected, which I believe was 3 feet thick, interwoven. It was like massive, and when Jesus died, what happened?
It just tore right apart.
Bible says that curtain was ripped in two, which was a miracle in itself, because. No, it was made of cloth, but it was each separate piece was separately woven and then sewed together. So that you get 3 feet thick of cloth that's woven together like that, you couldn't tear that in two. That would be harder than chainmail in a sense. And yet when Jesus died, this earthquake happens and that curtain is split in two. Why did that happen? What did that signify?
Jesus died then. Now you don't need to go through the curtain.
That the way is open. That the way was open now. That's right. That the way has been opened. An incredible miracle to give us an incredible testimony that we come by a new and living way. And that's why it says here, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is his body. And so now I'm going to give you the overall pattern picture here of the tabernacle. And in this picture we see the different things that were going on in there. And I want us to look at them for a second and consider, what do they represent? So we have the outer court. You see, number one, that's the outer court. Number two, the holy place. And number three, the Holy of Holies. By the way, I'll try to send a picture of this to Don and them. Do they have Microsoft Word?
They have a picture to us one time.
I think I did, yeah. I think
yeah,
I did.
I them one time.
Yeah.
They gave them up.
Okay. And so I'll paste it on that and send it to you guys who are listening here. Yeah. So the outer court, the holy place, and then the Holy of Holies. And in here was the Ark of the Covenant, you know, the one that Indiana Jones had in his movie, right? That they were looking for. Did you? Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was just a movie. But the Ark was real. It has never been discovered, and probably God won't allow it to ever be discovered again. But it was the place, the mercy seat, the place where God would meet with people. And yet to get there, the complications of it. So the first thing that we see there is what? At the entrance, the altar. And what does the altar represent? What was it for? It was for sacrifice. And so what fleeting, it's a fleeting shadow, though. It was a temporary thing. But what does it represent?
The blood.
It represents the cross, the place of sacrifice. How many sacrifices now are there for sins? Them days they had to make all these sacrifices for sins. Now, how many sacrifices are there? How do you know that?
There are no more sacrifices. That has been done by Jesus. He was the last.
How do we know that?
Jesus said it was done on the cross.
Done.
Okay. It is finished. He said it's finished. That's a good verse. Any other verses?
In Hebrews, it remains one sacrifice.
Yes.
Once and for all.
For sins forever.
Once and for all. Complete.
There's no more sacrifices. Look at this here. Isn't this a great verse? Hebrews 10:12. Okay. But this man, okay, Old Testament, every priest, Hebrews 10:11, every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can what?
Never
take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, for how long?
Forever.
He sat down at the right hand of God.
Praise the Lord.
Look at this one, Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering he has perfected for how long?
Forever
those who are being sanctified. Look at Hebrews 10:10. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ
once
for all. One sacrifice forever. Isn't that good news? I'm glad I don't have to be doing sacrifices for sins. Aren't you?
Yes.
One sacrifice for sins forever. I've often, when I read that in the Old Testament, says, oh, man, thank you, God, that I was not in the Old Testament.
What do the Jews do now?
The Orthodox Jew, they try to do the Passover sacrifice, and they no longer have a temple. They don't have this temple, and so they'd like to see the temple rebuilt so they can reinstitute these sacrifices. So I really can't answer you how it is that they justify or where they are.
A good verse that distantly relates that in a way.
Go ahead, Colin.
Well, same as like in Romans 6:10.
Okay.
For him that he died unto sin once.
Right.
Just once.
That's so. It. Once it is. There's another one here I want to read you in. Hang on a second. In chapter 7.
Wasn't there a guy in PEI wanted to sacrifice the goat and shed the blood?
Yeah, he was actually, I think it was a Jew and a Muslim that had approached a butcher over there that he wanted a lamb to be sacrificed or a goat. And he had a whole ritual that he wanted the butcher to go through. The butcher was a Christian, and in the end of it, the butcher just said, look, I just can't do this.
Yeah. He had to slice the head off and spread the blood around.
Yeah. Yes, in is this the verse I read earlier? No. Who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, then for the sins of the people. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. And so we have great, exceedingly great, precious promises concerning sacrifice. And so the altar is a picture or a shadow of the cross that was to come. Right? The cross of Christ. Right? So they had to come and physically bring a sacrifice and have it sacrificed. Do you have to do that? No. So what do you come? How do you come then? You come by faith. You come by faith, right? Accepting that the sacrifice has been made. So you can at least get that far, right? Right? You can get that far. Towards the very Holy of Holies? Because of the cross. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay, because the Bible actually speaks about a heavenly Holy of Holies. The heavenly place, okay? In the book of Hebrews as well. So you can get that at least to the altar. What about the laver? What does that represent? What was it for? It was a big bronze basin full of water. What was it?
Clean.
For washing, for cleansing, right? It was for washing and cleansing, so that purification, so that everything would be washed clean, right? And they had to go through ritual washings. Right, all the priests, if they wanted to get any farther than there, boy, they had to spend their time at the laver. Everything had to be just so. And they had to go through all these rituals at the laver. Well, what does that represent?
Baptism.
Baptism, do you think?
It's been washed away.
So what does it represent?
Body cleaned up, sins being washed away.
Okay, but what does it represent?
Your sins get washed away.
Yes, but how did they get washed away?
By the blood of Jesus.
So what does it represent?
The cross.
The cross, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, we're still on the cross here.
Yes, yes, yes.
We're still at the cross. You see how powerful what Jesus did on the cross was? It dealt with the sacrifice that was necessary for sins. It deals with the cleansing that needs to happen in our lives, because it's at the cross that our sins are paid for, isn't it?
Yes.
Are they paid for anywhere else?
No.
No. And it's by faith that we accept this, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so it is by faith that we accept that our sins are washed away, that we can go further. We have been cleansed. We are able to come into the presence of God. Isn't that great? But it's through the cross. It isn't through anything we do. It isn't through us taking soap and washing ourselves. It isn't through rituals. It isn't through religion. It isn't through anything, but by faith we accept that Christ has died and my sins are washed away. Isn't that wonderful? Ah, what a beautiful picture that is. Well, we can get here now.
And we can never be lost again.
That's right. No, this is a done thing. Christ made one sacrifice for sins for how long?
Forever.
And he is forever perfects those who are being sanctified. We just read those verses, didn't we? It's his work. When you come into the work of Jesus Christ, it's a permanent work. It's a forever work. Thank God that it is. This was all temporary. It had to be redone over and over again. You don't have to do these things over. They've been done at the cross once for all. Hallelujah. Now, that doesn't mean that I can't come to him for daily cleansing in the sense of, Lord, I've sinned, I've failed. And he says, look, it's already been paid for. Just accept that. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Move on, right? So now we've gotten into the holy place. We've gotten past the barriers that were erected, right? And now we see there are other things in this, in the inside of here. There's a lamp with seven candlesticks on it. What does Jesus say he is?
Lamp.
I'm the light of the world, right? Here's Jesus. These are all pictures of Jesus Christ. We see the showbread. What was that?
Food.
It was a bread that represented the provision of God, right? And so, what did Jesus say he was? I'm the bread of life, right? So, we have Jesus. We have the light of the world. We have the bread of life. And what about incense? How do you know it represents prayer?
Sweet offerings unto God.
Okay. How do we know that it represents prayer?
Sweet savor unto the Lord, God,
okay.
The Father.
Yeah, is there any verse that speaks about incense being prayer? Did you know the book of Revelation says that there's bowls of incense in heaven, and it says they're the prayers of the saints?
Right.
That is picture. Incense was a picture of smoke rising up, of prayers rising up to God. That's what it was a picture of. Now, we know that some churches still use incense, but that was Old Testament, right? That was fleeting shadows. We don't need those fleeting shadows anymore, do we? We can come and pray, right? We can talk to God. These were only shadows. The fulfilled substance is in who? Jesus Christ. Because no man comes to the Father but by me. But when you pray in the name of Jesus. In Christ, in Jesus' name. Whatever you ask in my name, Jesus says. And so all that you could find in the holy place is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And if you have Christ through the cross, you have Christ being the light of the world, the provision of your life, the fullness of access to God. And that's what those prayers, incense represents. Your prayers to God, your access to God is full and rich in every way. So you have every right to come all the way into the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could come here once a year. And that without, not without blood for the sins of the people of Israel.
But right came when the curtain split.
Yes, when Jesus died.
Yeah.
Yes, the curtain splitting was revealing what happened at the cross. That's right. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus is our high priest. In the Old Testament, they had Levitical priests, but there was one high priest, and it was his job to go into here. But the Bible tells us that Jesus came with his own blood into the holy, heavenly Holy of Holies on our behalf, thereby signifying and opening the way for us that we could come fully into full access into the presence of God. So this work of the cross has done away with all of this in the Old Testament and brought us into the fact that I can come boldly, the Bible says, to the throne of grace in the book of Hebrews to obtain help in time of need, boldly into the presence of God. That's amazing. You can go boldly to God. That doesn't mean you go arrogantly, but you certainly should go thankfully into the Holy of Holies, that you have full access to God. Think of what they had to go through in the Old Testament. Think of where you are today as a Christian, all because Jesus died for you. The full access that has been given to you through Jesus Christ. Okay. Can't be on there. There we go. So this is the kind of access that God gives to us. And actually, I want us to close with a song. So Colin, you get my guitar out. That we have this restoration. You see what it says here? Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence, Hebrews 10:19, to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body. You see? This is what he's referring to in the book of Hebrews. We come into the most holy place. And I'm so glad, so excited, that we have this privilege of coming into God's presence through the blood of Jesus Christ. So God's redemptive plan worked. He restored us to community with himself. We have this incredible privilege of being with God and in God. Matter of fact, if I can just, I'll give you a couple of more verses on the way through here. Do I have them here? I thought I did. No, hang on a second.
It's hard on the eyes, you
know. Oh, is it?
Yes.
When you flick them.
I apologize. I'm sorry. Okay. See if this one has that. Hold on. Don't look. I'm not sure if I had these verses here. I just wanted to check.
Save it for memory.
Yeah. Go to... Give me a second. I think it's in John 17. Whoops. John 17:21, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, right? There's that unity, that community, right? And I am in you, that they also may be one in us, that they all may believe that you sent me. John 17:23, I in them, Jesus, in his people, mm-hmm. and you in me, he's praying to the Father, mm-hmm. that they may be made perfect in one. So you can see the unity that Jesus is talking about here. This incredible unity that we are one with him, we are one with God. The barriers are gone. God has called us into this incredible place of communion. We can enjoy him forever as a result of it. And so this is what the cross brings. We're going to sing a song. That's it, David. I need to make.
Oh, yeah, okay. I was going to get you.
Thanks. This song is called Take Me In. And in a sense, we've already been brought in. But it gives a picture of the Old Testament and how, you know, if you really want to think of it for a few minutes of what the picture that I gave there, think of all the crowds of people that were gathered around and thinking, oh, we can never go in. We can never get that far. You know, sometimes as Christians, we feel like, oh, I could never go that close. I know people who can get really close to God, but I can't get as close as they can. Have you ever felt that way? I know people who seem to be so holy and they can pray and they're in God's presence, but I have to stay in the outer courts. I can only get so far, you know. I might get past the brazen altar, but I couldn't get all the way into the Holy of Holies. I might get to the holy place, but not the Holy of Holies. You know, and you know, a lot of religion has said that, hasn't it? Okay, you can only get so far here. But I'll get you. I'll go in for you. I'll look after it for you. I'll be your priest. You don't need a priest anymore. You know the scriptures tells in the New Testament? We are a kingdom of priests. Every single one of you are priests. Every single one of you have access. We only have one high priest, and his name is Jesus Christ. But every one of you are priests. And every one of you have full rights to come into the presence of God. Now that's exciting, and that's the privilege of Christians. So sometimes, even though it's true that the cross has won all this for us, sometimes we aren't living in it because we don't believe it by faith. We think that, well, I, there's no way I could get that close. Others can, but not me. But you have rights as a Christian, won by Jesus Christ, and that means full access into the presence of God. And I'm so glad of that, so that we can by faith, accept that God has given me the privilege of coming all the way in to God's presence. 504. Past the outer courts to the holy place, past the brazen altar, Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people, the priests who sing your praise. Oh, I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found one place. Take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take the cold, cleanse my lips, here I am. Take the cold, cleanse my lips, here I am. Oh, take me past the outer courts to the holy place. Oh, past the brazen altar, Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people, the priests who sing your praise. Yes, I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found one place. Take me in.
Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into holy, holy. Take the cold, cleanse my lips, be thy favor. Take the cold, cleanse my lips, be thy
favor. Now that part about taking the cold and cleansing my lips is a picture of Isaiah. In the presence of God, we're going to do one more song, and it's called By Jesus. And this song, again, pictures the new and living way in which we come into the presence of God. And it is 2228. Now is the time to worship the Father in spirit and truth, for there's no other way but by Jesus. Not by the law or traditions of men, nor by wisdom and knowledge that comes from the world, by a new and living way we come into your presence now. You have taken every barrier down. Jesus, you're with us now. Kingdom of God is not food or drink, nor the keeping of days by commandment of men. It's by Jesus. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Spirit, these are the things he's given to us. By Jesus, by a new and living way we come into your presence now. You have taken every barrier down. Jesus, you're with us now. We're not entangled in a yoke of bondage, for we've been made free as the children of God. Jesus, the great love of God has been poured out on us by His Holy Spirit. We're rich beyond dreams. By Jesus, by a new and living way we come into your presence now. You have taken every barrier down. Jesus, you're with us now. Now is the time to worship the Father in spirit. Truth, for there's no other way. By Jesus. Anyone that would like to close in prayer, please do.
Thank Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the cross, oh God Almighty.
Yeah.
Thank you for the veil being torn apart, God.
Yes.
When Jesus was hung on the cross and shed his precious blood for our sins, God.
Yeah.
And the earthquake and the thunders came, God, and the lightning, God, and it's just split that in half, God, so we could have a chance to enter in and out with God. Oh, my God, thank you for your precious love. You loved us so much, God, that you gave your only begotten Son.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God Almighty, and he who believes in your Son, God, will never perish, God, but have everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit guiding Pierre in his teaching tonight, God. Thank you for the love, God, that you have for us, to teach our hearts, to bless us and bless our minds, God, and our souls, God, with your precious, wonderful word. Thank you for Jesus Christ, and thank you for each and every person who is here, every Christian here, God. And God, I just pray, God, for those people who don't, are not certain about their faith, God, who, if they really believe in Jesus and being saved, God, I pray, Jesus, that you'll come to them, God, and open up their hearts totally, that they may totally invite you in, God. Oh, God, there are many souls, God, in this community and many communities, Marguerite, and all over, God, that need to call upon Jesus to be their Savior, Jesus.
Yeah.
Father, God, bless them. I pray for all those lost souls, God. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father, for this time. In Jesus' precious name, amen, Lord.
Father, we're so grateful for the cross. There was no other way than to enter there. If we could enter into your presence, dear God, and I thank you even now, dear God, while we're here on earth, dear God, and we can enter into your presence at any moment, dear God, and we just can't stop on the cross of Jesus Christ, in spirit and truth, come to you, dear God, and we just pray that more and more, dear God, and I can get to that. Our lives would be, oh God, in Christ Jesus, that we would know the fellowship of the cross, having itself and kept the place of death, dear God, that Christ himself would do the living within us, dear God, and that we would know the very love of Jesus Christ and enable us to go to you, dear God, and Lord, to love brothers and sisters in Christ, to love the lost in this world, dear God, and plead the name of Jesus Christ for the lost, dear God. Lord, even tonight, dear God, we're grateful, dear God, that we have that blessed privilege to come to you, dear God. Plead the name of Jesus Christ for the lost that surrounds, dear God. We pray, dear God, for the mighty work of your Holy Spirit. Among us on this island, dear God, that we would see, Lord, sinners come out of conviction, dear God, and then thought to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're waiting on you, dear God, Lord, we know that this place of prayer is where it would begin, dear God, the work that you have on this earth, dear God, to do, and building your kingdom, dear God, will be, the work will be done. Start in this place, dear God, of prayer, dear God. So,
yeah.
Lord, bring us to this place off, dear God, pray that each of us, dear God, we know what it is to meet with you early in the day, dear God. To know what it is to have communion with you, dear God, and know what it is to be strengthened by your Spirit, and to know what it is to abide in Jesus Christ, and to go each day, dear God, strengthened by you, and go on the love that you have for us, dear God, and Lord, we pray that our lives would overflow with love from heaven, love from you, dear God, and the love of Jesus Christ in our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
These things, Father, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. We thank you with all our hearts, Lord. We can come. We can come all the way into you. We can stay here, abiding in you, remaining with you, in communion with you. Thank you that every wall, every barrier has been taken down. Oh God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for its wonderful power. Praise you, Lord, that we can trust you. We can trust you to do all things well. We can trust, Lord, that your work on the cross is enough to save us. It's enough to keep us. It's enough, oh God, to cause us to be able to live differently than we have. We can trust you, Lord. Thank you for the new life we have with you. Praise you for the boldness to be able to come. Thank you tonight, Lord, that we could reflect for a few moments on your tremendous work at the cross. That we could, Lord, say, we believe, Lord. We believe. We believe in the Son of God. We believe that he was crucified. We believe that he died and was buried and rose again. We believe that he died for our sins. We believe, Lord, that we have access to come boldly to the throne of grace. We believe, Lord, that in your Father's house are many mansions and that there's a place being prepared for us. We believe you're going to come again and receive us to yourself. We thank you, O God, that you've given us simple faith to trust in you and what you have accomplished. We give you praise with all our hearts, and we long for others to know the same. We pray that you'll give us wisdom in how to share with the people of Inverness the best news that they could ever hear. That salvation is free and offered through Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. In his name we pray. Bless our food and fellowship tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Good, because I figured you don't turn it off though. Give it to me. I'll get it because if you turn it off, it won't save. It'll just dissipate. Thanks. Here it is. Okay, stop.